We are in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. That yawn was trying to come out of me there. So I jumped ahead. Dave Archer is going to be with us later. And how could I have even tried to skip the best part where you guys...
I know why.
What?
I know why you don't want to do Man Up today, because I don't have to. I mean, I was 3-1. Even the one I missed,
There are plenty of other aspects in your life where you can man up. Do you want to play the intro music?
First off, I want to make a declaration. Or Dylan, I want to throw up something for...
getting on the soapbox.
Shouldn't whoever had the best week or the worst week the week before have their voice in the I was wrong?
Well, they're not going to change it just
for
week 7.
You could have two. No. You could have two different intros.
Well...
This man has 1 week where he goes 3-1, and he's beside himself right now.
Or we could even do this. To me, this is the better solution. We can get Mike saying, I was wrong, and we can just add Mike's voice to it. That way, both y'all's voices in it.
All right. I'm fine with that.
I'm okay with that, because I just don't like what you're trying to sell to the fans and the listeners that I'm wrong.
Fans. You have fans.
Let's go ahead and do a little production on the air. Mike, will you say I was wrong for me?
He'll have plenty of moments to say it.
He just ruined it.
You'll have another chance to say it.
I've been saying it all show because I was wrong about Georgia. I was wrong.
Not the first time.
Yeah.
Look, I'll go ahead and start.
You were wrong, too.
No, I got Georgia right. My bad pick was the Texans, the Packers. It was 47.5 over. They scored 46 points total. Dylan, what's the first thing you think about Houston?
Explosive offense.
Okay. All right. That's it. What's the first thing you think about Green Bay?
Highly paid quarterback that was injured earlier this year.
But they can score points, right?
Sure.
The over-under is 47.5 at Green Bay.
Mm.
Yeah. I'll take the over in that game.
Yeah. I was going to say, that number
tells
you.
Freaking day. Take the over. Houston at Green Bay, 47.5, and you'll be able to take the wifey out to a steak dinner. Tell her it's on squid because you won money from me.
Psych! Wow. That's the wrong number.
It's a short miss, man, but I'll give you credit because I definitely thought you were heading in the right direction. And like I said, I was like, that number actually, that points towards the over as far as Vegas goes. So I'll give you hats off. You ready for this? You ready to clip this, Dylan? You ready, Georgia fans out there? I was wrong. Was wrong about the Georgia Bulldogs and what I think they could accomplish. I picked Texas to cover that number. This one's been very, very tough for me throughout the week. I've gone back and forth. Here's what I'll say. Nick Saban and Kirby Smart are so good at making sure their guys on defense play to rules. They have rules for everything. This man, second man out, flat defender, release. Guys like Steve Sarkisian know that. And more times than not, they are able to take advantage of those rules because they know those rules. So I think that Georgia is still a very good team. I'm not ruling them out of anything in the long run. But I think that this atmosphere might be a little too much for Georgia. I actually like Texas. Minus the points.
Nobody believed. Nobody gave us a chance. Your whole network doubted us. Nobody believed us. And then they tried to rob us with calls in this place. And these guys are so resilient. We talked about intent. What was our intent when we walked on the field? Our intent was not to take pictures,
we put the whole
not to do all the superstar stuff. Our intent was to come eat and be hungry. I'm not interested in all the bells and whistles. What I want is a team that fights their ass off. They did tonight.
I said I was wrong for the love. We had to put the whole Kirby on the back of that.
Well done, Dylan.
I had to make you feel it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Mike, what atmosphere are they not ready for? Beer cans being thrown at them?
Stop.
I mean, I told you that Georgia was
going to...
I told you Georgia was going to go in there and cover.
With like 2 seconds remaining in this pick, Bo picked Georgia. Can we go back and play that, Dylan? How about that one?
No feel for this game because I think Texas is going to win this game. I think Texas is the better football team. Georgia is a team that is kind of switching identities. What I mean by that is there used to be what we always thought was a run first team. They're a throw first team this year. A lot of that has to do with some of the injuries. Defensively, they are nowhere near the dominant team they've been. I think Texas is going to win this game. I just don't know Georgia shows up. The first half against Alabama, the second half against Alabama. I would tend to lean towards y'all. I'm just terrified this game is going to be really close. I think Georgia loses this game, but I think they might cover the 5. But I'm picking Texas.
Could be like an Ohio State Oregon type point thing.
So picking Texas just like we are, but you just wanted to throw that caveat in there just for Man Up Monday. So
you know
we play
what?
The sound back that you don't sound bad. Okay.
Forget it. You've talked me into it. I'm going
to
take Georgia to cover and lose.
Well, you really don't have a feel for this game then.
I don't.
Man just zigged when everybody else zagged. Okay.
Boo this man. I guess that counts.
Hey.
Boo this man.
fan.
Who's
and
the smartest guy in the
and
room?
He said it with his chest this morning. Look, 3-1. 3-1. I don't know what this guy was talking about. I'm 3-1.
Hey, here's the difference between you and me? I literally said I didn't have a feel for the game.
That's the first thing out of my mouth.
And you went, no, you didn't. You said, oh, I think Texas. Like
the first thing on my cut was, I've been going back and forth all week on this game.
Nah, you were very boisterous. Good
whatever.
For Georgia
I stand on my
for
pick.
Proving me right. Then I said they could cover.
I was wrong about them dogs, boy. They came out ready to go. Kudos to them. Hats off.
If we're continuing to brag for me, which we should, I was 3-1, the only person I went 3-1 on the show. I told y'all Army could score. I told y'all that Daly was a good player. 51 over. Army almost covered it by themselves. Army is 6-0. They're a 16-point favorite. They have scored 35 or more in 5 of their first 6 games. The over, 51.5 against East Carolina. Give me Army and the over of 51.5. The dollar score keeps it going. What Dennis Dodd tell us? The most efficient passing team in the country.
I love America.
That's right.
They're pretty good. That's a pretty good football team that Army's got, man.
Yeah. East Carolina fought back a little bit in that game.
Yeah.
Not enough, though.
Yeah.
They fired their coach, too.
All right, so my good on the week, and I pointed to this, it was 5-1, Texas A&M, facing off against 1-5 Mississippi State. The line, a little bit too small, and I knew that maybe Vegas saw something in Mississippi State the rest of us don't see. Final score on this one, Texas A&M 34, Mississippi State 24. Dylan, what'd I say on Friday? If you just look at records, there's a game in the SEC this weekend that I think could be monumental. There's a 5-1 team, ranked number 14 in the country, facing off with a 1-5 team who has been an underdog in just about every matchup they've played this year. And Vegas loves games like this. And you would look, you'd go, man, that spread, 5-1 versus 1-5, that's got to be like a 35-point spread or something like that. It's not. It's 17 right now, and I'm talking about Mississippi State against Texas A&M. Vegas knows that Mississippi State plays hard. Texas A&M, they have a good record, but they've been in a couple of bare-knuckle brawls along the way. I don't think Mississippi State even comes close to winning this game, but I think Mississippi State covers the 17.5 that they are getting in this game. Give me Mississippi State to lose by 10 against Texas A&M in a big home game this weekend. That's a 4:15 start. I like Mississippi State plus 17.5.
This mother don't miss.
He's good.
That mother don't miss, man.
That's you see, not Bo, the sound that, you should play. He
that
was 2-2.
Is a man up. That is, look, I said, hey, they ain't going to come close to winning, but they're just going to lose by 10. 34 for Texas A&M, 24 for Mississippi State. Who was spot on?
We'll
start calling it spot on Monday.
The difference in mind that pick and my Army pick, or my Georgia pick, where I said they would cover. That's spot on. They covered. That's all that matters.
Anyways, man. That was fun, though.
Can I say something, though?
I'm sure you will anyways.
I think two coaches that felt a lot of heat early in the season. I know it's Jeff Lebby's first year at Miss State, but he felt a lot of heat early in the season. You know what I've seen from Mississippi State is they've gotten better.
They play hard.
Each week. They have gotten better. They have played a tough schedule, too. Having to play Georgia and Texas A&M, two of the more physical teams in the conference, back-to-back weeks, that's not easy. And they fought in both those games. They were down big to Florida, yeah. Fought back. But I'll say this. My Florida fans are going to be mad at me. But Billy Napier, Florida has gotten better each week.
I'm going to get mad at you about that. They have.
And,
that's a fact.
And they now Graham Mertz is out. And I'm going to say this. And I was talking to, I think me and Mike Conner were talking about this yesterday. The way Napier handled the DJ Lagway, Graham Mertz quarterback controversy that kind of popped up was actually done as well as you can do it. Because it was Mertz's team in the locker room. That came out. You had said that. Me and you talked about that. Yep. But then it came out in the locker room, Tiff, that it was Mertz's team. Every third possession, they gave Lagway some time. He got some valuable time in some key spots. And then when Mertz gets injured, Lagway has to step in, and he played phenomenally, I thought, in his first SEC start.
I'll also say this. If LSU can't get by Texas A&M this week, we are staring down the barrel at a Texas A&M versus Texas top five matchup potentially at the end of the season. And that would be epic.
When we come back, Dave Archer will join us here on the morning shift. The Falcons radio network analyst and former QB. We'll be right back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the morning shift and going straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find Atlanta Falcons radio network analyst and former Falcons QB Dave Archer joining us here on the show. Good morning, Dave.
Hi, Tiff. Yeah, I've brushed my teeth like 100 times. I can't get that taste out of my mouth for losing the Seahawks. So maybe you guys can help me a little bit.
That's probably a good way to sum it up.
Yeah, that makes two of us, Arch. I woke up in a bad mood because I had to watch highlights of what happened. But, I mean, what do you make of a game like yesterday? Because it just felt like you basically couldn't get out of your own way to win. You know, you had penalties that stumped it. Then you made mental errors. I mean, what do you do to get past a game where it just feels like everything went wrong for you?
Well, getting past it is probably the easiest thing to do. Getting past it, you get to go to work again today. You got to go out, you look at the tape, you try to, you know, look through some of the stuff that maybe was correctable, some of the stuff that were just untimely screw-ups, and then you move on. That's the beauty of it. You get another one this week. So I think moving past it is probably the easiest thing to do. It's, you know, trying to solve what happened in the game is probably a little bit more of concerning. The flatness with which they came out and played with. There wasn't any energy in the building. There wasn't any energy on the sideline. And Kirk said it in the interview. I talked to him afterward. I said, you know, what happens in that situation? He said, we got to provide our own energy. And so there's lessons learned from that, even though this is a team that we've kind of been excited about how they've come together as a unit and how they've kind of melded together and been able to win some of these close games. It's going to be moments like this. Mike and I have both played in games where you come out and you just don't feel your best and you hope that someone around you picks you up. And as it turned out, it seemed like everybody was kind of in that doldrum state where nobody was picking anybody up. And this is what happens. You get your ass handed to you.
Yeah, well, you talk about brushing your teeth and getting over this one. At least you had Iowa State on Saturday to celebrate. Man, I didn't even have that. I had to deal with the freaking Bama loss on Saturday.
I hear you.
And then watch what I watched yesterday. Dave, I had the question yesterday at some point during the postgame show. What was the worst part? What was the worst part of the Falcons' loss yesterday? And honestly, I had trouble answering that because at times the running game looked electric. I thought Bijan looked as good as he had running the ball since he's been in a Falcons uniform. There were untimely penalties, untimely busted assignments. They made some plays. I couldn't honestly answer it. It just seemed like everything kind of took its turn throughout the game at being something that let you down.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Mike. It seemed like just as when you thought that, you know, maybe you could put your finger on some of the 3 turnovers, was it the 9 penalties? Some of those penalties were untimely that extended drives. You got off the field on third down, and yet here's a roughing the passer penalty or an illegal use of hands or whatever. That extends a drive that allows them to continue the drive, either eat clock or put points on the board. I think probably the thing that I would point to were the miscues. And those are the ones that are the befuddling ones. And those are the ones that, going back to Bo's question, that you go in today and you say, can we fix those? And I think a lot of them are fixable. Kirk's fumble, that's one where he's got to eat the football. I mean, he's trying to do too much there. I think you said that in the post game on his throw to Kyle, trying to push the ball down the field. You know, knowing you're down, you're trying to make a play. I felt like the fumble, the Mafe strip sack that was scooped and scored, I thought that he was trying to do too much there. That's just not something he could do to get out of the pocket. Got to eat the football and take that. You know, the ball goes right through Drake's hands and intercepted. I mean, how many times have we seen Drake, you know, go up and catch that football with those strong hands? That was something that was screwy. How about the blown coverage on the Metcalf touchdown at the end of the half?
Dagger.
I mean, you're playing cover two, and I don't know why Simmons is so wide. There's nobody threatening the sideline. There was no vertical threat along the sideline, so Simmons can cheat more towards the middle of the field. That's where AJ expected him to be, and he also was expecting Landman to run with the vertical through the middle. Everybody blew their assignment, you know, and so those are the ones that kind of jump up to me as far as answering maybe piece of your question is to what was the most disturbing piece of it. It was probably the miscues. I didn't think we had that many blown assignments in the five previous games.
Well, if we can maybe talk about some of the positives in this one, not many, I know, but Bijan and the way he was running the football, just why is it coming together for him this season?
Well, he's learning the game, Jeff. You know, it's just a matter of what you can get away with in college that you can't get away with in the pros. I mean, his ability to, you know, trust what's going on up front, trust the blocking schemes, trust his tracks, and knowing what he can do. And then it's just his natural ability to let him, you know, he's not trying to play within a box. He's now turning it loose. He's being the Bijan Robinson that you saw on tape when you saw him at Texas. I think that's something that happens to young players is they're trying to play within the confines of your offense. They're trying to do the things the coaches want them to do at the pro level. And at some point, you want him to be the guy you saw on tape and the guy you went and drafted. And I think that's where Bijan is now, is he's now comfortable in this game. He's comfortable on an NFL field, and now he's turning it loose. And you're seeing why Atlanta went and drafted him eighth overall. He's a top five running back in the National Football League. And then you sprinkle in Tyler Algier, who comes in, and Tyler was nothing less than spectacular yesterday when he got his five carries too. He ran through people like he normally does. So that 1-2 punch at running back is certainly a positive. I thought the offensive line coming off and blocking. I think there were a number of moments there where I thought the O-line did a pretty good job of giving Kirk time to go through some of his reads. Now, there were three sacks there, and some of it might have been Kirk hanging on the ball a little bit too long. Some of it we collapsed a little bit in the pass protection. But I think those are certainly things that you hang your hat on. In these kind of games, it's hard to find the positive, Tiff. But you're right. Bijan Robinson is certainly one of those glowing moments.
No, on Arch, on this show, it's always the offensive line's fault.
Here we go.
Accountability for them.
Arch, better tell this man I will come across this table at his butt.
I will say, I don't want to talk positives, but I think a trend that we're starting to see, because I think we should talk about everything that happened, but one of the trends I'm starting to see is this run defense is starting to tighten up a little bit. Early in the game, they weren't very good, but then they tightened up and only allowed 103 yards on 26 carries. It feels like the run defense is starting to progress a little bit, Arch. I know the pass rush is still not there, but what are you seeing up front on pass rush and run defense?
Yeah, I would agree with you, Bo. I think that, you got the misfit in the run game on the Walker touchdown run. It looked like Caden Ellis was trying to he picked the wrong gap. I think he was coming on a pressure. He's coming on a run dog. And I thought Landman was late scraping over to fill that C gap. And so when Ellis decided to take the B gap, then a good play by Walker and his vision to bounce into that next gap over, that's where Landman's supposed to be, or Jesse Bates rocking down from safety to fit against the run. So I think the only thing that's hurting them in the run game right now as they progress, and I agree with you, they are progressing, is some of their fits. I think they're misfitting the run in a few places, and that's creating some of the creases. We talked about last week, Carolina, they rushed for 115, 120 yards in the game, but I thought most of it came like on one drive where they got like 40 yards on one drive. So if you can start to kind of dress that up and stop missing those moments, then I think that number comes down to under 100 yards. If you get them down around 90 yards rushing, that limits a team in the run game. Pass rush, I thought that you had a lot of chances. I mean, you were around Geno Smith a ton. You got him on the ground once. James Smith-Williams came around the edge and just power rushed and got him, put him on the ground. But this inability to finish right at the point when you got the quarterback in trouble is a little bit disturbing, and I think that they'll continue to work at it. You need to be there to be able to get the sack. So they're getting there, but they're not finishing. I thought Ebikadi was solid again. I thought you got a lot out of Grady. There was a lot of stunts that they ran, ET stunts, where they got somebody clean coming towards the quarterback. Unfortunately, you knocked him to the ground a couple times. You got a couple of penalties for it, and so I thought there was a progress there, but just still not enough. You're not finishing the play and getting him on the ground.
Yeah, finishing up with Falcons analyst Dave Archer. Dave, I want to go back to that for just a minute. And I kind of feel like in a lot of ways, maybe I'm running out of excuses. It's probably not a good way to put it. But we talked a little bit about the style of quarterback through the first three games or how your defense is playing things over the last few weeks. I felt like this was the game for the pass rush. Like we talked about it in pregame, Michael Jarrell was the third, fourth string right tackle that was being put in. Had never started a game in the NFL before. I'm like, oh, they're about to go off. And then you get home a little bit, but I still feel like Matthew Judon has not really arrived on the scene. I'm having trouble figuring out why. Then you add in the injuries that you seem to have gotten recently, Lorenzo Carter, obviously, James Smith-Williams during the game. What does the immediate future look like for this group, and how can they begin to affect things in a positive manner down in and down out and not really look at it and say, well, the scheme is this and the scheme is that? How can we get home, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, you know as well as I do, Mike, it's going to be, you know, what efforts can you double up if you're that individual? You got to look inside yourself individually. Judon, is he giving everything he can on every play? And I think he's getting double teamed a ton. He's getting, I think there's a number of times where they're chip blocking him and they're getting an extra set of eyes over to him sometimes. But ultimately, it's going to be on guys up front and their effort to get there. Jimmy Lake's trying to dial up the pressures, and we're playing some zone pressure behind it. We're playing some man coverage behind it. Some of it's working. Sometimes you're getting there and you're making the quarterback throw the ball away. I thought Geno Smith, there were, what, four or five times in the game, Mike, where he had to throw the football away. Now, one of them, I think you got a roughing the passer call, and he was just trying to throw the ball away. So I think you just continue to grind at it and push to try to get better at it. I don't think there's a magic pill. Is there a guy out there you could go get? Trade deadline coming up here in a couple weeks. I guess you can continue to scan that. But those guys aren't just walking the street. They're going to come in and all of a sudden have 10 sacks for you. So you're going to have to do it with this group, and this group's going to have to, you know, look inside themselves when they get in the room together and say, hey, what can we do more or do better to get home? Because you got the guys you're going to have during the season. Those are the guys who are going to have to go to work.
I told you, Arch, we'll just trade a couple of sevens and you know, D'Angelo Malone, and we'll pick
here
up whoever we want. Anybody, whoever we want. Doesn't matter.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard we can get Julius Peppers for a seventh rounder. So that's what's on the market.
There's
right
a chance
now.
You can. Might not take that much.
Yeah, he's got that yellow jacket on. I don't think he can move around very well.
Dave, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. See y'all.
That was Dave Archer, former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. When we come back, we've got a Life of Squid. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And don't forget the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic benefiting Pets for Vets is November 25th. We are almost a month away. There are still some opportunities to get into the golf tournament. We still have registration open. And there are still slots available. But however, they are going fast. Jump in. Don't miss it.
When are we
going
to get a practice round? Need to get that. Need to get the lie down. The weather's good this week. Need to make that happen.
Okay. Well, let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Did you freeze?
No, I was thinking.
Reset the computer.
Hey, you want to do it Friday?
Yeah, maybe.
I can play Friday.
Yeah, let me think about it. Yeah, I'm going to give you the old, let me think about it.
See, this is the problem, Tiff. He's noncommittal on anything. Anyways, go to 99 Game website, events, and you can find a way to sign up. And maybe, maybe you can play a practice round with Mike.
Something you're getting ready to find out, my friend, is that when somebody invites you to do something, you got kids and a wife at home, you don't ever say immediately, for sure. You just say, yeah, I'll get back to you. Let me text the wife.
That's your life, not mine. I will tell
soon.
You.
Soon.
I will tell you that Owl Inn, the new Ram beer that is my sponsor for this
segment.
Use
your words.
It is a very good beer for chugging. It's an American lager. And I'll tell you that it's a good beer for chugging, Tiff, because I got to chug one yesterday.
Oh, man.
Because I got off the snod. Got my first NASCAR Fantasy League win. And when you win, you have to chug. Thank you, Dylon.
Only took 33 races.
Thank you. And I brought her home.
You did. Yeah, you did. I was happy you got one before the season ended. There's only three left.
Congratulations.
So.
I really mean that sincerely.
Yeah, I can see it on your face. I'll be posting on
you.
The meat man
the
is
topic.
Back. But yeah, I got a win, and I chugged a new round. It just felt right to do new round. It's my beer.
Yeah. Are you going to play the audio of your chug?
No.
Because I don't think we have time for it for the rest of the segment. That's how long it took you to get that beer down there.
Oh, you got roasted.
Well, so here's the deal.
I was like, oh, no, don't double clutch.
I'll do it real quick because I'm coming home from the Falcons game. I haven't checked NASCAR, and I'm coming home, and I get stopped at the red line. I go, I wonder what's going on with the race. And so I checked it, and I was winning. And I go, uh-oh. And so then I turned on the race on Sirius because the 99 postgame show was in advertisement. And heard some of it play out. Got home, watched the final laps, and said, there's no way I won because I thought when Bell pitted, I would not win. And then he came back to get second. Logano won. I had both those guys. And then I had to have a cold. I didn't have time to let the beer warm up a little bit because when it's super cold, Tiff, and you chug it, it's rough on the throat.
Yeah, you struggled through that one.
Yeah.
He looked like he was chugging a glass of beach sand. That's what it looked
like.
Yeah. I didn't look that bad. You're such a jerk. You know it wasn't that bad. You know it. It was nowhere near that bad.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't see it.
It was nowhere near as cringy as Tyrese Halliburton's video that he posted to 50 Cent randomly at 4 a.m. with no shirt on and three random girls in it.
Fifth, what's up, brother? Wanted to congratulate you on your Vegas residency. You've always shown love, so I want to show love back. Appreciate you. Congratulations. That's a big, big honor. It's 4 in the morning. I just got back from the club, but I got to make sure I show love to my guy. Congratulations, brother. Keep going.
And those are the blondes in the background, as you can hear.
I did not see this video, so I must have been under a rock.
You should Google it real quick before, because we got a couple minutes. We're going to play another
clip. Man.
It was just...
I don't understand.
It was cringy because I'm not sure why he felt the need to do it right at that moment. It was almost like one of them was like, hey, let us be a part of... He was probably talking about it, and they're like, hey, you should be like, get him on Twitter and thank him, or, you know, congratulate him, and we can be in the video, too.
Exactly. Well, and here's the thing. We've talked on this. We've talked on this show a number of times before about social media rules that you put in place for yourself, or do you or do you not? I would say one of the rules he should probably put in for himself is do not post on social media after midnight, because then it becomes awkward, and then, you know, there's other factors involved when you lead a club that early in the morning and you get home, and then you probably wake up the next day and go, man, that was probably not a good idea to post that. And that's probably the situation he's dealing with after what he put out there.
I will say that I do believe one of the girls is Jade Jones, his girlfriend. But it's hard to tell.
I do believe that, yes.
It's hard to tell because, I don't know, they all three kind of look similar. Anyways, they're just three blondes that all look the same. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'm not saying all blondes look the same. I'm saying these three blondes look the same, all right? Sure. My wife's a blonde. She don't look the same as other blondes. Mm. These three look the same.
Okay.
Also, I want to give a shout-out to my dude.
Hey, man, thank you so much.
Scotty Scheffler.
Oh, no, not me. Okay. Sorry about that.
I think he has had – he had a great season. He was, to me, the golfer of the year. He had a couple rough patches in it. One of which took place in Louisville. And let's just say he's not afraid to take a shot, as he was on College Game Day pick as the guest picker because he's a Texas alum. And when he had to pick the Miami-Louisville game, he did it with some fun.
Give me Miami. There's no way I'm picking Louisville at this particular time where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah, not to bring anything personal into this with Louisville. A great city, love the people, but I think Miami's going to smoke
it. Is there any chance?
Yeah, it's not the best the audio, but he's like, hey, you know what? Not to make this personal, there's a lot of great people in Louisville. I love the city, love the people, but Miami's going to smoke them.
That's awesome.
It was absolutely personal.
Shout out to Scotty Scheffler for that one. Great stuff. I love that.
Sometimes you just got to find a way to have fun with stuff, Tiff, and laugh at the situation. He's obviously been exonerated, but it's...
Sometimes is what you got to do.
I mean, I think I can do that often. It's kind of a gift that I've been given.
You just don't think of Scotty as being like a witty person, but that was such a witty comment. You know what I mean?
You're going to drive past that delusional comment he just made?
Oh, I didn't hear. I stopped listening to him like 5 minutes ago.
You think somebody wrote it for him? They're like, hey, man, when you pick Miami-Louisville, you got to say this.
He probably definitely was thinking about it like on the airplane there where they do the wheels up thing. Probably like, yeah. You know what, man, I'm going to slide this in there when I have to pick this game.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We will find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.